You know, we're looking at the Ten Commandments. Who remembers the first one? I hope we remember the first one. You shall have no other gods, it says, doesn't it? And today we're going to look at the second one. In a nutshell, you shall not make for yourself a graven or carved image. There's more to it than that, and we'll read more about it. But before we get there, I just want to say a word about Valentine's Day, because you're probably thinking, well, Jim, why don't you preach about love or something today, because it's Valentine's Day. But on the back of your bulletin, there's a very nice little God's Valentine thing for you. Some of you have seen that on your emails and such as of late. But be sure to read that little God's Valentine thing, because it is all about love. But I'm not going to preach about Valentine's Day or love per se, either one. I would just say this. Today is a good opportunity. It's a good opportunity to show your love for one another. Yesterday I was setting up here for the funeral, and my good friend who I've come to know very, very well, the funeral director, was setting up here, and I said, "So, you got your wife some flowers, Taylor?" A lot of you know Taylor too. "No," he said, "I don't buy flowers." I said, "Really? Why not?" I did that once, and when I brought them home to her, she said, "Who died?" So I don't bring flowers no more. I said, "How about this, Taylor? Do you cook the lovely Mrs. A meal once in a while? Because you know what I've heard? I've heard that ladies love to see the man in the kitchen. Matter of fact, I've heard it on Christian radio. I've heard it from people personally." "Nope, I don't cook for her either." I said, "How come?" "Well, we don't keep very close schedules." Of course, and he's right about that. When he's on call as a funeral director, he's night and day. Well, I said, "Take it from me, brother. After 30 years, they like flowers. Or if you can't think of flowers, they like something. Maybe it's chocolates. Maybe it's sweets. Maybe it's to prepare them a meal or whatever it is." And ladies, of course, the men like something too. But today is just one of those opportunities. Just one of those opportunities to give and receive and to share some love. I hope that you can do that. Even though you might feel lonely or hurt, I hope that you can do that today. And I hope that you can do that every day, but today is one of those days that I hope you can do that. If you would turn in your Bible again to Deuteronomy, we're going to look at commandment number 2. And I've really got quite a bit of scripture today that I normally don't read quite this much scripture, but there's so much scripture in the Bible about this commandment number 2 and about idols. And so I've got a fair amount of scripture today, and so I hope you'll be able to bear with me in all of that. But I'm going to share some, you know, from the scripture and some of my thoughts about this commandment number 2. And the first thing we might think of, well, we just had, "You shall have no other gods." Why do we need another one that is so closely related that says, "You shall not make for yourselves any graven images"? Well, let me give you a little background on that too. But let me read for you Deuteronomy 5:8. And I'm not going to read the whole thing yet. It's a fairly lengthy commandment that takes up a couple of verses. But I want the gist of it to be laid out now. Then I'll bring it all together later. "You shall not make for yourselves a carved image." The King James Version says graven. And so the first thing I did was to look that up. And it simply means carved. That's what the New King James says. "You shall not make for yourself a carved image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." And the whys to this commandment is simply because they had just come from a culture, Egypt, 430 years of bondage, 400 plus, of bondage, where the land was literally saturated with idols. And so thus, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image," the King James says, indicates they were not to hew, they were not to carve, they were not to use a graving tool, of any kind of image, from wood, from stone, from metal. They weren't to use the axe, the chisel, the graving tool. This commandment includes the prohibitions of idolatry in its entirety. Idolatry was practiced hugely among the Egyptians, and some of the other cultures of the world. And right off, we might think, you know what, Jim, we don't have any idols. I really don't think I have any idols. But I'm going to challenge you to think through that. Because we start to consider, like we considered last week, thou shalt have no other gods. We start to consider, what are the gods of society that start to come into and slip into my life? What are these idols? No, maybe I haven't formed an idol out of metal. I used to like to weld. Some of you are like are hand crafters. You like to work with wood. And maybe we can say with complete sincerity and honesty, Jim, I don't have any of these graven images. But then we have to break it down to the 21st century and say, what idols have slipped into my life? And so they had just come out of a culture. Did you know that in Egypt they even worshipped the fish? Did you know that? As a matter of fact, there was one particular fish called Oxyrrhynchus that had his own temple. And they worshipped him there. They paid divine honors to him on a regular basis, this fish, this temple in Egypt. And you know, you might say, well, Jim, that sounds a bit ridiculous. How about we get a little more real? All right, let me bring it to the 21st century. Our temples, and this might sting just a little bit, and forgive me for that, but our temples now, we call them casinos. And we slip on in there, and we bow down at the machine, and we say in our hearts, give me something in return. You remember the quote that I gave you just a little while ago from somebody that's there on a regular basis. She said to me, Jim, there's more praying going on in the casino than there is in the church house. And I'm not sure she's that far off. And so we think that this idea of having a fish and his own temple and bowing down and worshiping that is ridiculous, and yet we are guilty of the same ridiculousness in America today. I'll get off that soapbox now and move on. But you think about that a little bit, and you think about the things that come into our lives. And we're calling upon God and praying to Him for the things that we do. Or are we even calling upon Him at all? The reason they needed this commandment number two, because in Egypt they worshipped the oxen, they worshipped heifers, they worshipped the sheep, the goats, the lions, the dogs, the monkeys, the cats, the ibis, the crane, the hawk, the crocodile, the serpents, the frogs, and the flies. They worshipped the beetles. And I don't mean Peter, John, and Ringo. I don't mean them. They worship the Nile. They worship the fish. They worship the moon. They worship the sun. They worship the planets. They worship the fire. They worship the light. They worship the darkness. They worship the air. And they worshiped the night. You see why they needed this commandment number two? Because things have a way of slipping into our culture in a hurry if we let it. All these things were objects of Egyptian idolatry, and they included everything you can imagine. And that's why he said in Deuteronomy, he said in Exodus 21st, but also in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8, thou shalt make unto thee no graven images. Don't carve or make or form a thing of any likeness that is in the heavens above, on the earth, or in the waters. Not a thing before me, he said. Idolatry. Idolatry was the death of the Israelites when you read through the Old Testament. And as I mentioned to you last week, when he addressed, you shall have no other gods before me, the children of Israel were headed to the promised land where there were all kinds of gods. Gods of the Sidonians, gods of the Philistines, gods of the Ammonites, gods of the Amorites, gods of the Canaanites. They had all kinds. And he said to them clearly, you shall have no other gods. And now he's also reminding them, no idols, no graven images. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 44. Tim, do you have that in New Living Translation? Tim's going to have it up here. Isaiah 44 is a little bit of a lengthy passage, but I want to read to you what is said about the foolishness of idols. I want to break it down for you a little further. And again, I would ask you, maybe we're not worshiping fish, or the cattle, or the Nile, or the ibis, or the beetles. Maybe we are. But I would ask you to ponder and seek the face of God and say, is there anything in my life that I have worshiped as an idol? Listen to what Isaiah said in beginning at verse 6 in Isaiah 44. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord of heaven's armies, I am the first and the last. There is no other God. Who is like me? Let him step forward and prove to you his power. Let him do as I have done since ancient times when I established a people and explained its future. Do not tremble, do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim my purposes for you long ago? You are my witness. Is there any other God? And he answers it himself. No, there is no other rock, not one. And listen to what he says in verse 9 and following. How foolish are those who manufacture idols. These prized objects are really worthless. The people who worship idols don't know this, so they are all put to shame. Who but a fool would make his own God an idol that cannot help him one bit? All who worship idols will be disgraced, along with all these craftsmen, mere humans, who claim they can make a god. They may all stand together, but they will stand in terror and shame. Verse 12, the blacksmith stands at his forge to make a sharp tool, pounding and shaping it with all his might. His work makes him hungry and weak. It makes him thirsty and faint. Then the wood carver measures out a block of wood and draws a pattern on it. He works with chisel and plane and carves it into a human figure. He gives it human beauty and puts it in a little shrine. I would just simply say, be careful here. No graven images. He cuts down cedars. He selects the cypress and the oak. He plants the pine in the forest to be nourished by the rain. Then he uses part of the wood to make a fire. With it he warms himself and he bakes his bread. Then, yes, it's true, he takes the rest of it and he makes himself a god to worship. Same stick of wood. You see what he's saying? Same stick of wood. He makes an idol. And he bows down in front of it. He burns part of the tree to roast his meat and to keep himself warm. He says, ah, that fire feels good. Then he takes what's left and he makes his god, a carved idol. He falls down in front of it, worshiping and praying to it. Rescue me, he says, you are my god. Such stupidity and ignorance. Their eyes are closed and they cannot see. Their minds are shut and they cannot think. The person who made the idol never stops to reflect, why? It's just a block of wood. I burned half of it for heat, and I use it to bake my bread and roast my meat. How can the rest of it be a god? Should I bow down to worship a piece of wood? The poor, deluded fool feeds on ashes. He trusts something that can't help him at all. Yet he cannot bring himself to ask, is this idol that I'm holding in my hand a lie? You say, Jim, that's real stupidity. That's real foolishness. Well, we think so until we really, really take a close look at ourselves. And we really, really take a close look at society today and the things that can slip in unawares into our lives and start to take our attention, our interests, and our time. Now the entire verse from the New Living Translation. Commandment number 2 says, you must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sin of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. And again, we can use the argument as they did in the Old Testament time. We use the argument, Jim, I haven't rejected God. But yet all these things have slipped in. And in so doing, we have inadvertently set God aside during this time or during this season or whatever it is, and we have allowed these things to come in, and we have in fact rejected God. And he continues that verse by saying, but I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. Idols and idolatry was the death of Israel. And I'm not sure, you listen to lots of pastors today on TVs or on radios. I listen to it on radio some. And very good speakers, very good, very knowledgeable people. And you see the collective thoughts are talking about the death of America. The dying, certainly, of a spiritual America. Matter of fact, I was talking to my physician just the other day, and we were talking about things other than my health, which oftentimes we do, and he stated to me, America is going to need to die before we can ever live. I don't know if he's right or not, but that's his opinion. But I am simply saying that idols and idolatry was the death of Israel. And if we in America are dying, which I can say with confidence, we are declining on a very slippery slope away from Almighty God. What is it that's driving us there? Is it simply idolatry that we haven't even recognized? Remember why he called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees? The neighborhood was full of idols. The people were full of idols. Did you know Abraham's not that many years after the flood? About 400. We've been in America a few hundred years, and we've seen some decline, we've seen some changes. But he called Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees because the neighbors were all idol worshipers. And he said to Abraham, I want to make of you a nation of people that follows me, not idols. And you know, as Abraham, the second generation down, Jacob went back, or he sent the slave guy back to get a wife from the same territory. You remember that whole story about Laban and Rachel and Leah and the idols prevalent in everyday life. And we've just talked about the Egyptian idols. You remember what they did when Moses was up on top of the hill, been up there 40 days, the people cried out, where's this Moses guy? Make us a calf and take us back to Egypt. And the golden calf was born, so to speak. And as you read through Judges and Samuels and Kings, you recognize the gods of the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites got in the way. And I'm simply saying, as we look through the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, idols and idolatry was the death of Israel. And so I ask us, what are those idols today? And I ask us, do we long for something like the children of Israel did? Get the flavor now. They're seated or whatever they are there in the wilderness. Couple hundred thousand or several hundred thousand of them. Moses is on the mount. He's disappeared for 40 days. They've got nothing tangible. And so they say, make us a god. Is it in our nature, because we don't see the living God, to need something tangible? If you read through Deuteronomy chapter 4, that's obviously the one before 5 that he gives us these commands, there's a whole long list of warning against idolatry before he ever gets to the Ten Commandments. He reminds them in Deuteronomy 4, you didn't see me on the mountain. And he reminds them, you didn't see the Lord's form, you didn't see the Lord's face. And he says to them, but don't corrupt yourselves by getting something that you can see. That's exactly what they did at the bottom of the mountain. And I wonder if we have that tendency too, to get something we can see, get something that's tangible, Get something maybe that I can get my hands on, that I can claim as my own even, or that I can claim that I have done. I wonder if we have that same tendency that they did when God warned them in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and said, you didn't see me, but that doesn't mean you should make for yourself some idols. No other gods and no graven images. And I don't know what the graven images of today are. I have some ideas. But I think we need to ask ourselves, particularly in the church house, particularly those of us that really, really desire to seek the face of God, God, are there graven images that have come up in my life? And I've really searched my heart this whole week, and I've had to repent of some things. God, there's been some graven images in my life. You know, for a long time, I'm just going to throw out a couple more here, and again, I don't intend to beat on your toes too bad, but I think things that can slip into our lives unaware, and we're not even sure what we're doing, and we just kind of start putting faith in something else. And for a long time in my life, I've been working since I was 14. Literally, that's when I went out to work to my first job at 14. So I've been working for a long time, and I get this thing back that says Social Security on it, benefits. And I've been looking at that, and I've been longing for how big that might get someday. And then we go off to job places that have 401ks, and they've got retirement this and retirement that. And I find myself starting to lose myself in thinking about, boy, I'll be glad when that happens. I'm not saying that's a graven image, but I'm saying if I'm longing for that day when I'm just collecting a check, I'm talking about Jim here now. You've got to examine yourselves. What am I putting my faith in? I'm putting it in that check. I'm putting it in that 401k. I'm putting it in that Social Security. Yes, I've contributed to it. But you see, brothers and sisters, God has spoken to me this week on this matter, because this has been one of those things I've struggled with since I was in my early 30s. Do I put my faith in Him? And Him alone, or my pocketbook? He's made it real clear to me in these last 5 years what I put it in. It's not my pocketbook. It's not my 401k. It's not Social Security. It's not anything else. Who knows if I'll even be alive tomorrow to get it? I couldn't care if I am or not, because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But you see how things can slip into our lives. Farms. I had one. I loved it. Possessions, businesses, all manner of things can slip into our lives. And yes, you say we need these things, we do, but they begin to slip into our lives and they begin to take all of our attention and our time and our energies. Church buildings. Sometimes I wonder, and I believe God just shakes His head when He sees what we have done. And I'm not trying to be critical of people's houses of worship. But when they cost hundreds of millions of dollars and there's starving people everywhere, I'm asking myself, God, does this please You? And yes, this is the week after I told you, or 2 weeks, I told you, we're praying about God's direction for rebuilding ourselves. But I believe that we have to be very, very careful about letting other small g God slip into our lives, even in the church house, that begin to take our energies and to suck the time and the life out of us. And pretty quick, God is somewhere in the back of the bus, because this is what I'm interested in. This is what's taking my time. This is what I'm putting all my thoughts into. And I just wonder, even as a pastor, And I know lots of pastors, we've got to be cognizant of not letting God's graven images, carved images, start to creep into our lives so it takes our attention off the Almighty. And so
I don't have the answers of the graven images that are creeping into our homes for individuals. I just know what I'm guilty of. And I just know what I have been vulnerable to. And I suspect it is the same with many, many people. And God simply says in commandment number 2, you shall not make for yourselves any carved image. You shall not fashion for yourselves any other god of anything, any likeness of human, any likeness of animal, any likeness of the stars. And if this had been the 21st century, he'd have said any likeness of buildings, any likeness of occupations, or anything else. Don't let them consume you. I am God, he said. I am a jealous God. And so I just simply ask you, brothers and sisters, this morning, examine your own hearts and your own lives and ask, is there anything, O God, that slipped into my life unawares that's become between me and you? We need to repent of that and get it out of our life. And you know what? Let me close with this. And Jess, you ready? We're going to sing Blessed Assurance. Let me close with this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord today, if you've never surrendered to Him completely your life, you're never going to get on top of these small g gods. We can't do it on ourselves. We need to surrender ourselves, our whole life. We need to repent of our past and invite Jesus Christ to be Lord in our life and surrender everything to Him. And then He begins to illuminate to us, what are those things we got to deal with? If you've never surrendered completely and wholly to the Lord Jesus Christ today, I'd urge you to do it, friends. Eternity depends on it, number one. And your health of living and your livelihood and your life depends on it, number two. Surrender to Him today if you haven't. And if you have, and there are things that have crept into your life, surrender them too. And remember these two commands. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no graven images. Remember those two commands. Next week we'll look at number 3.